episode 35, Strangers and Aliens' First Birthday, Listener Feedback, and Contest Winners. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/strangers. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Welcome to the Strangers and Aliens podcast.
Strangers. To boldly say what needs to be said.
Would you be a stranger or an alien? Or would you be a strange alien?
The truth is out there. I am your father's best friend's plumber. Superman.
Wonder Woman.
Heroes. Villains. Captain Picard versus Captain Kirk.
Do you think that there's room in sci-fi for God?
The very first thing that God did was that he created something, so we have a creative God.
This is Strangers and Aliens Podcast.
Hey everybody, my name is Steve MacDonald, and this is the Strangers and Aliens podcast. I'm going to leave it up to you to decide who's the stranger, who's the alien, or maybe even both. And I'm going to introduce my cohorts in crime here. To my left, I have...
Ben Avery, and I am here with...
Also... Dr. Jace O'Neill.
It's been a year. We started a year ago.
An entire year, man.
Can you believe that?
Congratulations, guys.
Yes. Let's pat ourselves on the back for a moment.
I will. I can't pat you on the back, so I'll pat myself.
Right. I could pat the microphone and pretend.
That's true. Stretch.
And make that
stretch
sound. Yeah. Thump, thump. There. Now that everyone...
On the back.
Now that everyone's going to turn it off because we just blasted their ears with microphone tapping.
You're welcome.
So, guys, this is a special episode because we're doing the contest. We are going to draw names out of my Superman hat.
Rock and roll.
And we have a ton of feedback about a ton of different stuff. And I think we should probably just get to it.
Let's do it.
So we've said hello. And we're going to start a new thing. We have a new host, co-host here. To help us with our feedback, it is the Twitter bot. Let's see. Twitter bot, get over here. Okay, Twitter bot, where are you? I'm loading Twitter bot.
Good, great. His first appearance and he's gone. He's
Twitter
just...
bot, are you there?
Hello.
Oh, there he is. Okay, nice. How are you doing there?
Not bad.
Okay.
Are you sure?
That's really bad.
Is this really going according to plan?
No, but we are going to use our Twitter bot to read our Twitter messages that people give to us rather than reading it ourselves. And so...
Are you sure?
And then we're
that,
probably...
I think this was Steve's idea, so then we have somebody else to make fun of.
Yeah, I think we're probably going to mock a Twitter bot when he says stuff, too. But go ahead.
All right, Twitterbot, we have two tweets that you're going to read for us.
I am awesome.
It's not the Twitter.
Yeah, he said he's awesome? What?
Ben's been programming him for himself. He has him saying that every 5 minutes. You are awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ben rules.
Here we go.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so this first Twitter message is from...
He's wrong.
It's from Eric Merced, who is an artist friend of ours. And Eric, this is what he sent us via Twitter.
Been listening to a Strange and Aliens podcast and enjoying it a great deal. The guys are insightful and funny.
See, that's kind of cool. Patting ourselves on the back using a British accent in a robot.
I like, because anytime you have the accent, I mean, it's either a villain or it just makes it seem like 30 IQ points higher than
exactly
than the gene pool.
So smart and evil is what you're saying?
Smart and evil.
Yep. If you're in Star Wars, British accent means you're evil.
The The British.
Actually, any accent.
Yeah.
There's problems.
What about Obi-Wan Kenobi?
What about Doctor Who?
Well, but that's not, Doctor Who's not Star Wars, first of all.
Why does he sound like he's from the North? Lots of planets have a North.
And then we have a message. We're going to start with our feedback about the Star Wars news. And here's one that came up because I think because we were talking about the Star Wars holiday special. And so this follower on, I think it's David Clements, he, I guess, looked up the Star Wars holiday special and listened and watched it. So, here's what he had to say about the Star Wars holiday special.
At Strange and Alien, the Star Wars holiday special is awful. What's up with the gift Jerry's dad gets? Pretty risque. Ha ha ha.
I don't know if we're ever going to invite the Twitter bot back.
I think you have to actually program, like, you know, laughter in there. You can't have him. You can't have him just say ha ha ha.
Well, I did. That's what I just put in the tweet.
I know, but laughter is a physical reaction to something. It's not letters on a page that you can read.
Yeah, physical reaction to me pressing the button.
Ha 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 ha.
All right. I think that Twitterbot is going to give you some reprogramming.
Twitterbot is fired. Executive decision.
Come on. You guys haven't fired me in a year. I think you can keep Twitterbot on a little bit.
Yeah, but you're at least lovable to make fun of. Twitterbot.
Oh, no.
The truth is, we actually really do like you, Steve. I don't know.
Wow.
Anyway.
Okay, so
special.
Let's
move like
on.
Me. You really
now.
Like me.
Wait. I am set now.
He is sad now. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought he said he was set now.
Yeah,
like he's set, like
a,
he's okay.
He's
gonna,
it sounds like,
start rocking it.
We need to get that fixed. Okay, let's move on. So we do have some feedback that was left on our website and in some emails and stuff like that. So, Steve, we got this is a message from the Sci-Fi Christian guy, Mike Poteet.
Mike Poteet.
Speaking of the holiday special, by the way, Matt Anderson from the Sci-Fi Christian predicts that before next Christmas, the holiday special will be available on disc to own. That's his prediction.
And Lucas will have, like, retouched it and... Like, you know, added.
Well, no,
Ewoks,
Lucas isn't doing anything with that now.
Jar Jar, so, and
so that's, oh,
he's a consultant. He's a consultant.
His,
he's,
that's his prediction.
I don't know about that. I think Lucas.
I don't know.
I think Lucas dug a really deep hole, threw everything he could in there, and it's too bad that a couple of people recorded it off.
The thing you have to remember about the holiday special, though, that was written and directed by TV writers, and not just TV writers, but like. You know, variety show writers and variety show directors. I mean, so it's not like George Lucas said, you know, really the next chapter, if I could do a chapter in between this one and the next one that's coming out on the big screen, I would do this story. It wasn't like that. So.
I think it's great.
I think it's, that if it came out on DVD, it would sell.
It would.
Sell well. So this is a reaction to us talking about, did Palpatine say that he created Anakin or not?
The implication is that Palpatine created Anakin, but it is not explicitly stated on screen. I think the actor decided the answer was yes, but that was only for his own backstory playing the character. I don't think it is canon. My initial reaction, Mike Petit goes on to say, to Disney's purchase of Lucasfilm was shock, but upon reflection, I find it too hard to get too worked up about it either way. I agree it would be fun to have live-action, basically family-friendly Star Wars on the big screen to take my kids to see. And as Star Trek was saved from being stifled by its creator when Roddenberry died, now Star Wars can be saved from stagnation at Lucas' own hands, although Clone Wars has done a lot to keep it fresh. Any going back to prophecies, midichlorians, etc. would be a major mistake. Time to move forward, not backward.
All right. Time to move forward, not backward, which is something we talked about. Like, wouldn't it be cool if the prophecies were wrong and Anakin wasn't the one that we're talking about? And, okay, so now we have a voicemail, actually, from Ryan Ricks.
Hi guys, this is Ryan Ricks, and just wanted to comment on your latest episode 32. Honored that I made the mailbag, and you know, I guess like everyone, I have a lot of mixed emotions about the Disney acquisition. You know, on the one hand, I do like the prequels on a certain level. They are kind of eye candy. They're kind of fun to watch, you know, as long as you don't think about them too much. But of course, the other side of that is if you think about them too much, then they're not so great. And I guess that's kind of my fear about new Star Wars movies. You know, on the one hand, Disney could do them and make a good job. On the other hand, it could be this thing like Land Before Time, where they make, you know, 20 direct-to-video movies, and they just kind of, you know, nuke the fridge, like, time after time after time. But I would be interested to see kind of where they go with a new trilogy, you know, when it would take place. Are they going to incorporate any expanded universe material? And consequently, one thing I am afraid of is if they do take place in the post-Return of the Jedi time, you know, are they going to just completely kill all of the EU canon? You know, are they going to eliminate the possibility of characters like Mara Jade, for instance, who is, you know, one of my favorite characters? And how far in the future would this be? Would this be kind of immediately after? Would it be 20 years after? So it'd be interesting to see what they do. But I feel like a good author needs to know when to stop. It's always good to leave people wanting more rather than just making more and more product just for the sake of money. So I'm really, really kind of hesitant, not very optimistic, but it'll be interesting to see where they go. Thanks, guys.
So that was Ryan.
He sounds like Twitterbot.
Everyone's going to sound like Twitterbot now. You know, I think with the new movies, it's the type of thing where I don't think they're going to go back and, you know, fix all the problems that they had before. I really don't. I sort of wish they would. I understand that they probably won't. I think I'm going to be entertained by what they're going to put out there. I just wish they would do something.
See, but here's the thing. I've said this for a long. I've been expecting this for a long time. I don't remember if it was one of our previous conversations or if it was off camera or whatever. But I remember saying I believe that they're going to be doing another trilogy at some time soon, because Lucas originally had, you know, well, there's talks about what he originally had, but there was always this talk that there was another trilogy after the original, you know, Luke Skywalker story. And there's too much money in it. And
that's,
so,
yes, that's the deal right there.
There's too much money. But here's what I'm excited about, because I wasn't able to really speak into this subject. Finally, Lucas, because he's, from my understanding, he's already outlined the stories and they've got a scriptwriter working on it. Lucas is able to do what he does best. He's able to create, and he's able to get people who are actually a better writer and better director than he is, which if you look, Empire Strikes Back, which is my favorite Star Wars film, was the best one. Was the best one. And that was when he got other people involved. And I think that's what excites me, is that he steps into a chair of this big picture visionary of this really creative world and brings people in who are better in areas that he's not.
Okay, right. Let me ask you guys this then. Ryan brought up something that I have not heard get brought up in really any conversation. He brought up the Land Before Time syndrome. Now, the Land Before Time was a nice movie that I saw in junior high and just thought we were seeing a movie, you know, and it turned into this thing where they've made 20 or something like that.
Yeah.
In the series, like, it's this animated series of movies that just keeps going and going and going. Yep. What do you think about that? Do you think they could just end up making too much Star Wars?
No. I think we live in a different – I think, first of all, the Land Before Time is kind of an comparison of unlike things, because the Land Before Time, it started off as a big movie, but then they just moved it into DVD, you know, mainly. And that's what Disney does with some of their most of their princess films. If there's a Cinderella 2, it's direct to DVD. That's a totally different, that's basically a way to, it's a different way to make money, but it's not one of their big box office deliveries. What happened, what we're seeing is this. George Lucas rewrote the book when he is credited as being the father of the modern blockbuster trilogy franchising. Mm-hmm. And so when he did the merchandising and all of that stuff in the trilogy, he changed. That's how we do everything. Now, Avengers, that whole series has turned that on its ear a little bit. Now we've got a whole, like, flagship, you know, bag of movies, which is I'd be interested to see if that's where things start to go, where you have multiple individual characters and then you do one group. That might be a new model that people start to follow. But Lucas, Star Wars, think about it. Batman, if you have a bad Batman, you just do another one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what this might do is create different types of Star Wars. You're going to have your main flagship of, you know, family-oriented, but then they might do something that's a little bit, you know, I think it opens up all sorts of possibilities. I like it.
I guess I'm just going to have to see how it goes.
Well, obviously, and that's the thing is, can we just let it go? Will the fans be able to just say, oh, we'll just sit back and wait and see, or is it going to be like this for the next 3 years?
Well, here's the thing. This is what I don't understand. All right? I don't see how they can ruin it. This being, even if they make more bad, if they made bad ones, the original are still awesome. And I personally kind of like the prequels. So if they do a bad one, it's too big of a franchise for it to die. So they'll just, if it does poorly, they'll just reboot it and get a better one going with a better cast, better director. So, you know, I think people are a little too whatever.
I think people
Welcome
are a little
to the
too
internet
whatever.
Age. So, speaking well, of the internet, we had some more messages on our internet. So, Dr. Jace, this one.
We've got RC. RC was just stunned. I know something was going to happen when he appointed Kathleen Kennedy to the helm, according to RC, but I didn't expect this. While a new film always exciting, Disney's design by committee approach to creativity has me a little worried. Too many focus groups have not only misled them, but made for some diluted movies. Wasn't that how they decided to name the movie for Princess of Mars, John Carter? A title so descriptive that no one knew what the heck it was about. However, they've done a decent job with Marvel. Sadly, they let Pixar go downhill and did much of the same for the Muppets and associated entities. What do you guys think about that?
I don't know if I agree about the Pixar going downhill.
Yeah,
I don't either.
I like Pixar.
I think there's two missteps by Disney with Pixar. One was when Disney first came out, when they first took over, was Ratatouille. And Ratatouille was the first film that Disney was in control of the marketing. And they bombed the marketing because Ratatouille at the point was rated one of the higher of the films, but yet it made some of the lowest box office at that point, and largely because people were blaming Disney dropped the ball in the marketing. So that would be one part where I'd say maybe Disney dropped the ball. The other one would have been Cars 2. Which they forced a sequel. But come on, I mean, Toy Story 3? That dropped?
Yeah, that was awesome.
To me, that doesn't make sense. Brave, I have not seen, but I heard got good reviews. Don't say anything about it if you've seen it. I have not seen it. It's in my Netflix queue to see. But
I hear that Mel Gibson dies in it, but other than that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I don't understand the Pixar comment myself.
I've heard people say that, though. RC's not the only one I've heard say something about Pixar. And then Muppets, too, he mentions, too.
Yeah, well, Muppets.
Which,
okay, first of all, up until the latest Muppet movie, I would say absolutely true. They've basically relegated Muppets to really cheesy, awful holiday specials.
Made-for-TV holiday specials, yeah.
Which were really awful. So when they relaunched the Muppets, you know, with this latest movie, I was, because I love the Muppets. Growing up, the Muppets are like some of my favorite franchises. So, I'm kind of liking where they're going with the Muppets, as long as the next one follows in line.
Well, we'll see. Okay, so we have Eddie Medina, who is, he's reacting directly to the episode. He says, mixed feelings about this episode, guys. You had me 100% with Ben's proposal to make Luke front and center. That's what I've always had as my number one on my wish list for the third trilogy. Then you lost me on the kissing cousins marriage thing. Cue the dueling banjos. But seriously, some good ideas overall.
Okay, yeah, I've got to know. I've not listened to the episode. What the heck were you guys talking about kissing cousins marriage thing?
Steve kind of misspoke.
I knew it was Steve. I knew it had to be Steve.
I mentioned something about how, you know, Luke and Leia had kissed in the first two episodes.
Wait. Before you said that, you said, well, maybe, you know, the next series could be about Luke's kids and Leia's kids and getting together and having the next generation and make it sound like
he was talking about Luke's kids
marrying Leia's kids. Then when I called him on it, he said it's cousins.
Okay, listen to me. It's cousins. I mean, on Earth, in America, yes, it's illegal to marry your first cousin. It's not always been that way. And in other planets, I'm sure they have different laws. So to harp on that, I thought was kind of silly, because anything can happen. You know, okay, they're cousins.
In an American-made all-ages family film.
Okay, I mean, in an American-made all-ages family film, a sister kissed a brother. Well, there you go.
In two different movies in a row. A, they didn't know, and B,
that's
the writer didn't
they didn't know.
Know.
Oh. The writer didn't know. How ridiculous is that?
Okay, well, let's move on.
Yeah,
let's move where on. I came
in
from.
In the context of the reality, neither of them knew.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is, why would you have two people kiss and then in the third movie be like, oh, you know what? They could be brother and sister. I never thought of that, except for the part where they kissed all the time.
What'd you say, Jace?
He said they kissed all the time. They kissed once.
Well,
they
kissed once kissed in him Star on the cheek Wars. When they swam.
Yeah, but
went
a kiss on the cheek doesn't matter.
That was for luck, yeah.
Come on.
The kiss on Hoth was just to make Han mad. It had nothing to do with Luke.
I've never kissed my sister like that to make
anyone
mad.
She didn't know that.
Doesn't matter.
Have you ever read Oedipus? Come on.
All right, so Steve, you got our next message there.
I do. And it is right here. How come it's not scrolling? Got it. This is Zach Mandel, right?
Yeah.
Zach says, I am not sure what to think of Disney purchasing Star Wars. They have done well in the past with movies like Pirates of the Caribbean and National Treasure. However, they seem to be lacking in the science fiction department. It is exciting to think that there will be a new Star Wars film. I just don't know if Disney has what it takes to make a film as epic as Star Wars needs to be.
And then RC responded to some of those examples of John Carter and Tron and Pixar and the Muppets and that. And he says, hopefully Lucasfilm fly under its own wind. What do you think about that? Because that's what the setup with Pixar is right now, right?
Yeah, from my understanding, from the people I've talked to, people like working for Disney because Disney, for the most part, lets people do their thing. I don't think John Carter is a fair comparison because John Carter is just one property, whereas Pixar was an entire company. Lucasfilm was an entire company. The Muppets came along with a Jim Henson company. So John Carter is not a good example. That is just one film. And I think the issue with John Carter was the marketing.
Yeah.
I can see people being wary about things, though, because of what happened with John Carter and Tron Legacy. And what else has there been sci-fi for Disney?
Yeah, but that's different. Those are just titles. These other ones are actual companies. And at that time,
right.
And so what Disney does is they largely let those companies do what they've always been doing.
And if they do that with Lucasfilm, what do you think?
I think it'll be fine.
I think that's hopefully the way they go, because
if they let the marketing run, I mean, I can't understand how they dropped the ball on John Carter.
think about this. This is George Lucas, the guy who finagled the people to get all of the merchandising rights. Do you think he's going to sign away everything without knowing that it's going to be in good hands?
He didn't sign away everything either. He signed away, like, he's like a major stockholder now.
Yeah, exactly.
And speaking of, you know, the stockholding and that kind of thing, I will say this. The Sci-Fi Christian did an episode about the Disney thing, and it was Matt Anderson and Other Guy. And Other Guy is a Disney genius. I mean, he knows everything there is to know about Disney. He does a blog about Disney called I blank on the name of his blog.
The blog is www.betweendisney.com. And his name is Daniel Butcher. Oh,
okay. Thanks, Twitterbot. We'll link to it in the show notes. But it's a really good episode. So if you do want to, you know, listen to them, you know, there's a place to start.
If you want to listen to them.
Them who shall not be named. Speaking of other podcasts, though, we do have one more message in about Star Wars, and that's from Peter Franson, who is from the Spearblade Underground podcast. And he left this message actually just a little bit ago about Star Wars.
Hey, Ben and company, it's Peter Franson from the Spearblade Underground podcast. Well, I got to say, Lucas birthed an amazing world for us in the Star Wars franchise, but I also got to say that the franchise out of George Lucas's hands equals massive, massive improvement.
Yes. Yeah, and he's kind of saying what you had said already, Jace, about Empire Strikes Back being your favorite.
Right.
And how did that work? Someone else directed, someone else wrote.
Yeah.
Okay, we did get a little bit of feedback about the ending episode, the episode called The Ending We Wanted. Drew Rubb wrote in and said, "Hey guys, I just wanted to offer a little bit of feedback on some recent episodes. In The Ending We Wanted, you referenced the short-lived show Jericho. I watched this series during its first run and very much so enjoyed the show. I agreed that it was well-written. I think all the actors took their roles and made the characters very believable. Gerald McCraney was the kind of mayor I could have seen myself supporting if I had been in Jericho, so I'll have to give him kudos as the best supporting character of the bunch. I was disappointed with the ending of Jericho, as I felt the second season, short-lived as it was, didn't answer enough of my questions. I'm glad you mentioned it was picked up in a comic book, but I don't read comic books, so I won't get a resolution."
Okay.
And then he goes on, "Some series that gave me a disappointing ending, and some of those you already mentioned, Awake." We didn't talk about that.
I know. Yeah. That was on my list. That was on my list, but
we skipped over some of our lists, though. But he said, "Although the ending was acceptable, it didn't answer the dual reality issue. Watching it without expecting an answer to that part of the story, and the ending makes sense." So I'm wondering, Dr. Jace, is that something that I should – did you watch it all the way through?
I did, yes.
Okay. I want to come back to it, but
– yeah, in fact, I think Awake has – outside of maybe Lost, I think Awake had the single most captivating commercial of a new show I've ever seen. The only time I've ever seen a commercial for a television show that got me more interested was when I saw Lost. But Awake, if you look it up, it's a great – and I really enjoyed the story.
Well, I hope it ends up on Netflix then.
I don't know if you guys – I read a little bit about what the creator of the show intended for the actual
earbuds?
Reality of the show. Should I just not mention it, or since it's already over?
Let's actually – let's do another episode with that, because I'd like to talk more about that, because I've actually listened to some of the things they're talking about too.
Okay. Then he mentions Outcasts, which I think you had mentioned.
Yeah.
And
Terranova was also on my list that he mentioned.
And Earth 2.
Was also on my list, but we ran out of time.
Yeah.
And, so he brought up some very, very good ones.
Well, and with Terranova, he said if that show had actually included more of the dinos, it might have survived. And then with Earth 2.
That was the problem with Terranova, is it actually got better as it went on, because the first part I was pretty bored, and then all of a sudden about halfway through the first season I'm like, oh, this is getting interesting.
And then we have RC, who also responded to that episode.
Right. RC said, Well, not specifically about the ending we would have wished for, but on a topic that Dr. Jace had mentioned, I too have started watching Doctor Who, my brother having lent me 4 seasons of Doctor Who that have just been sitting around unwatched for a year or more, have finally been put to use. I have to say, the move between doctors was a bit jarring. While at first I was having trouble getting on board with Chris Eccleston being a good guy, by the end of the season I quite liked him as the doctor. I've just been getting into David Tennant, but just having trouble getting a bite, on the new for then doctor. It's a little complicated. I really enjoy the sub characters just as much, if not more, than the doctor and Rose. I have to say that the episode when she goes back to her own past was quite emotional and well done, neither over nor underplayed, really quite sincere. Outside of that, I'm not overly impressed by Rose as a character. She reminds me too much in character of women I had known once upon a time, certainly no one I can follow as a hero. It's a good series so far, but not excellent or great. But with 2.5 more seasons at my disposal, I'll see where it goes.
I think that's interesting. I can relate with the transition of Eccleston to Tennant. I disagree with Rose, though. I see maybe it's because it's transference is going on there where he's seeing people he actually knows. But what I liked about Rose's character is not necessarily the character itself, but the relationship with the doctor and what it does to the doctor. I mean, that was, in fact, right. when Rose leaves the show, it was the hardest thing for me in the entire of what I've seen so far. I'm not seeing any of this new season. That is still the part that gets me the most, is I really miss Rose and the doctor's relationship. I kind of like how they put a period in that, which also left the door open for David Tennant to come back if he ever wanted to. I thought that was a very creative way to leave an out, so to speak.
I hadn't thought about that.
Oh, yeah. I thought
they actually could bring him back.
Absolutely, because he's the most popular doctor to date so far, and to everybody. So if he goes out there and things don't come out and he wants to come back in 5 years and it's still going, they go, hey, by the way, we have this other situation going on, this double.
Yeah. I never thought of that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Why not? And the doctor appears as someone new each time. Who is to say that he can't reappear as someone who he has appeared before? So,
all right. So,
yeah. Okay. So, let's move on to our gluttony episode. We got some really interesting feedback on the gluttony episode, and I'm excited about the Seven Deadly Sins series that we're doing. Jace, go ahead and read the first one here.
All right. It's Dr. James Parker. Dr. James. Yeah, I'm reading my own name, Dr. Jace. Donald James Parker, which we know. So, I know.
Friend of Gideon, yeah.
I believe the term.
Do you remember this?
No, I don't.
This is when you're talking about how sweet potatoes taste like, and you couldn't remember what it was, and I threw in American fries, I think. And you were like, oh, yeah. Okay, well, this is what.
I don't know. Okay, he says that I was trying to grope for the word hash browns, and I don't think that's where I was going. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't remember. I can understand his inability to tap into that cavernous memory of his soon after the Nebraska-Michigan football game. But you know, up until this moment, I haven't even thought about it because I didn't know they even played that day. I've been so busy with the church plant that I've forgone my Michigan football team, which is sad.
Wow. Because
this podcast was a little slow developing. All this talk about gluttony made me hungry. So I retreated to the kitchen for a snack, but could still hear everything. The end was much better, so I'm glad I stuck it out. Wouldn't someone who consumes movies and TV be considered a glutton? One movie which made me think of gluttony was Cool Hand Luke, where Paul Newman eats 50 hard-boiled eggs in 1 hour. A memorable scene.
Yes. A memorable stomach-turning scene.
I would agree with them. I think that in this sense, that for someone who consumes so much media, I think you could consider it gluttony. And I think that's as someone who really enjoys books, television, movies, all that kind of stuff, I have to I compartmentalize it a little bit because you're right. It can become too much of your life.
Mm-hmm. And the big difference there with I don't even know what I would call it, but the difference between a food kind of thing and that time kind of thing where you're consuming TV or consuming video game or consuming, you know, books or whatever, is that takes time away from your day. Yeah. You really need to balance what is a good use of my time.
And usually, from what I've seen, they actually go hand in hand together.
What does?
Because usually if someone is consuming a lot, they're also consuming food as well.
Oh, okay.
Usually they're a good, good relationship. In fact, hey babe, could you make me some popcorn? Butter?
I actually have some popcorn waiting for me. When we're done, yeah,
there are times when I could probably have put myself to a useful sleep at night or something, but instead I'm staying up. Yes. Watching something, and I'm dozing unless I'm eating. So I'll get a bag of chips or I'll get something. So I'm chewing and actually doing something, moving a little bit, and that keeps me awake. So I can finish watching whatever I'm trying to watch. So yeah. Right. Pretty much. I mean, and oh, obviously, the times when you're going to sit down and watch, all three Lethal Weapon movies, and you get the big pizza, and you sit there, and you get the 2 liter of Coke, and you don't want to move off the couch for 6 hours. So yeah,
I think we had a hurricane day here. You couldn't do much of that because a Hurricane Sandy went by, so everything was closed down. So that's how I caught up on all the Doctor Who things. So I was actually kind of like, this is kind of cool. We haven't had a chance to just sit in and watch nothing, just chill out. I appreciate those times, but sadly in our culture, that happens far too often, continually.
It becomes a lifestyle rather than a moment, or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, Steve, Ryan Ricks, he wrote in.
Ryan Ricks says, Proverbs 27:20 comes to mind. Haven't listened to the whole thing yet, so sorry if you mentioned it during the podcast.
And we didn't. Proverbs 27:20 says, death and destruction are never satisfied, and neither are the eyes of man.
I'm sorry, not, Ben, it's not. It's man. Neither, not neither.
What? You say neither, I say neither. Let's call it a thing. I think this one actually
we should have
works.
Twitter bot say that. I think it would sound cool of course, in the British accent.
If Twitter bot said it, we'd be here for an hour before he got it out.
No, death and destruction are never said.
I've got one from Hank Carwell. I'm about 20 minutes into the episode, and it occurred to me that Max Headroom series could be a good illustration of gluttony in sci-fi as well. Big surprise. After all, it is a set in a world of rampant consumerism, where people are encouraged to satisfy the desired, even if it us ultimately is. Dehumanizing. Oh, that's what it's supposed to say. Even if it is ultimately dehumanizing.
So, and that's Hank from the geeklesia.blogspot.com.
Hank.
So then we got a message from Drew Rubb, and this is a little bit longer than most of the messages we're reading here, but I'd like to read the whole thing because it's a very thoughtful and thought-provoking writing here. And so he says, I just finished listening to the gluttony episode. I wanted to toss you a little bit of feedback in my continuing battle with gluttony. According to dictionary.com, glutton is defined as excessive eating and drinking. While that isn't any new information, I know many people can take gluttony and define it as excessive indulgence of just about anything. For me, my battle with gluttony goes with the classic definition, excessive eating. No drinking, I gave that up long ago and was never excessive on it in the first place. Many years ago, through my college years and a few post-college years, I couldn't get past 150 pounds, give or take, no matter what I ate. I didn't work out a lot, I just had a crazy metabolism. I started a job in 96 or 97, and instead of having access to healthy eating establishments, even healthy food from home, I had easy access to a buffet and several fast food outlets. I also got older, and my metabolism went from a drag race to a lazy Sunday drive. My job didn't have me very active either, let's call the whole thing off. And before I knew it, I had ballooned to about 220 pounds. Without realizing, I'd also developed high blood pressure and was constantly tired and fatigued. I never put together what had happened. As I look back now, however, I realize what I had done was give in to the sin of gluttony. Large lunches, bad eating habits, and constant snacking helped me gain weight I didn't want or need. And the slow degradation of my health literally snuck up on me. I was on high blood pressure meds for years, and I was told by my physician that I would probably be on them for the rest of my life. In full disclosure, my parents both had high blood pressure, so I do have a genetic disposition to it. A few years ago, I started dating a young lady who would eventually become my wife. She has her own health problems, one of which is that she also needs to lose weight. She decided to try one of the weight management programs, and to show her support, I joined as well. Long story short, following some management programs, I've, for the most part, gotten my eating habits under control. We started the program 2 years ago, and since then, I have managed to get my weight down to a healthy average weight of 175 pounds. Eating healthier foods, smaller portions, and working out on a much more regular and consistent basis has made a drastic change for me. I am off one of two medications for high blood pressure. I recently ran my first half marathon. I am less fatigued during the day and have more stamina. And my recent physical shows that I pass all the tests with flying colors. I am literally in the best shape of my life now. Strangely, until your podcast, I never actually realized that I've been struggling with gluttony. It's not a word that's used in weight management meetings. It's not something that's generally brought up in church sermons and accountability groups. But it is the battle I had been struggling with. I can honestly say that I still struggle with it. I may have to compare it to a recovering alcoholic or drug addict. My addiction is food. I find myself still wanting to give in every now and then and eat more than I should, or eat some of the things I know aren't good for me. Knowing that this is a battle against a deadly sin will give me a new perspective on choices when I look at food from now on. If I can keep that thought in my head, especially now through the holidays, I know that God will carry me through the temptation of eating and overeating. As someone who has had success in this, I'd like to offer a few words of encouragement to your listeners who might be struggling with this. 1. Believe that you can beat this addiction and that you can get your eating and weight under control. 2. Set small goals. Set a goal to lose just 1 pound in a week, or to skip a snack, or not to go back for seconds and eat a smaller portion. You'll see that once you can successfully do the first goal, each goal after comes easier. 3. Seek assistance. Have friends and family watch out for you and keep you accountable. And be honest if you fail and give in once. It's not something you should be ashamed of. Look at this as a stumble, not as a fall down and never get back up. 4. Have an ultimate goal. Healthy weight, stamina to run a half marathon, get off medications, whatever. But always focus on the smaller goals. Completing the smaller goals is what gets you to the ultimate goal. Looking far off is what causes depression. 5. Healthy eating doesn't mean boring eating. Eat smaller meals, but portion things out. Join Weight Watchers or use a free tool like MyFitnessPal to track calories. It helps set fitness goals, daily intake, exercise, etc. It may take a little extra time in your day, but it's worth it. 6. Eating smaller meals with light snacks in between is a great plan. I've gotten around to eating a lot of fruit as a snack in mid-mornings, and usually snack on carrots and hummus instead of chips and salsa in the afternoon. 7. Exercise! Get up and move some. Start with short walks around the block, not to the food. Lengthen the time, lengthen the distance. It may take time, but add a little bit each week or so, but keep it regular. I hope that anyone who feels they are battling with gluttony and think they can't beat it can use something of what I have learned and shared. It's a battle even for me still, but God does provide the means to beat it. He is faithful. May the force be with you. Drew Rubb. So, yeah, I really like this. I like what things he's saying. That thing about exercising with short walks around the block and not to the food. When I was in college, we were trying to get into jogging, me and my roommates. And I remember the first time we did it, we ran around the block, stopped at the little pizza place, placed an order, continued running, and met the delivery guy at the dorm. So
that's bad.
That was really bad. Anyhow. Guys, you have anything to add to that, or...
That's some good helpful hints right there. You talked about, you know, the entire thing, the entire process, and a lot of times, you know, someone has a one idea that covers part of it, but this is very comprehensive. I would add, you know, keep in prayer about it as well. You know, if you're praying, you're probably not eating. So.
Could be praying right before you eat.
Yeah, that's true.
I hope you are, but you know, you can just make sure that you're keeping in prayer about it, and you know, just make that contact.
All right. Well, I do want to mention before we do our drawing for the contest, and do our our look back at the last year. I do want to mention the ways you can give us feedback, and we're pretty excited because we do have some new ways, or a new way, I should say. And it's we have a phone number that you can now leave voicemail on. It is 1-840-37-ALIEN. That's 1-840-37-ALIEN. And that you can call any time of the day or night. It goes straight to voicemail and does not wake anyone up. You don't have to worry about that. And
how do the strangers get in touch with us?
they're out of luck, man. They're just going to have to lie and pretend that they're an alien. We also have the voicemail option on our website, and you can always email us at podcast@strangersandaliens.com. And we're on Facebook at facebook.com/strangersandaliens. We're on Twitter, where we are Strange and Alien, all one word. We love getting the voice messages from you, especially. Those are always cool to add your voice to the episodes and cause it to be, you know, give it some variety. So
yeah, even if it's a computerized British voice, we like it.
We'll see. We'll have to figure out if we do or not. But if you have something you'd like the Twitter bot to say, you know, send us some feedback on Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I wanted us to take a look back at the past year, not, you know, in depth, but quickly, guys. I just wanted to see if there was anything. I have a couple questions here that I wanted to ask you. One is, looking back at the past year, what is your favorite episode that we've done? Your favorite topic that we've done?
That's a good one.
I think
there's so many good ones. It's just,
yeah, that go with that one.
Even the time travel one, you know, comes to mind. That was one of our very early ones.
I really liked the Star Wars rankings. I thought that was an interesting one.
Those were fun.
Yeah, yeah. Those are other early ones. Yeah.
I like the interview I did with Paul Acey about the Dark Knight book that he had written. That was fun. And I really enjoyed the episode we did, or the two episodes we did at the Gideon, where I was able to...
Yeah, I would say the one that both of the ones we did at Gideon was were two of my favorites of all time.
All right.
I think, personally, I enjoyed going to the Dark Knight movie and like live tweeting it and then having that read as part of one of the podcasts, even though, you know, whether I like the movie or not is immaterial. I just, it was fun to do, you know, and just having those types of, experiences, you know, with you guys is just, it's a lot of fun.
You know, I'll be honest. One of my favorite parts was grading you guys in Doctor Who. I really did enjoy that.
Yeah, the Doctor Who episodes are fun because I had my wife as part of the episode. Those were really good.
Yeah, we need to bring her back.
One question I had for you guys is, what are a couple in the year? What is, like, real quickly? What are some things that have happened that are different now that a year ago was not? Is there anything for you guys personally that's changed?
Well, I have a job.
That's good.
So, you know, just working through. I mean, it's a bus driver. It's a school bus driver job. So I was in training for 2 months to, you know, take the tests. So, you know, I was. It could have been that I failed the tests, and that whole 2 months would have been for nothing. So it was. It's a major thing in my life. I haven't been working since 2009. So,
yeah.
So basically the entire Obama administration, the first part of the Obama administration, I haven't been working. So it that's a huge thing. And my wife has actually sort of taken up the mantle of writer in the family, and she's actually finished a book, and she's working on a couple other books. She does the NaNoWriMo thing, the National Novel Writing Month challenge. And then she just, for the rest of the year, she's in the mode of doing it. So, you know, for the last year, she's just been like a writing machine.
I gave up on that the first day.
Are you serious?
Well, I realized I'm not going to be able to write for fun like this. Not when I have like actual writing I have to do for my jobs that I'm doing.
Yeah.
It just wasn't going to happen. And plus, the fun stuff I wanted to write wasn't a novel. You know, I'm writing that audio drama. Uh-huh. That I sent to you, Steve, and you know, so I gave up. I was like, this is fun, and I wish I would be able to, you know, enjoy it with a community of people, but it just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
So, as far as anything different for me, my kids are getting older, but I didn't have any big changes. I had a couple books come out, Book of God, and
that's a cool thing.
It was. I mean, that was a big deal, a big thing, and I really, I'm proud of that work. It was a very in long term project. It took a long time to get finished. Very personal project, and just one I also felt a more of a mission with than some of my, you know, action adventure kind of things. So, and you've had some pretty huge things in your life change in the last year, Jace.
Yeah, I have two births. One birth of my beautiful baby daughter, girl, and she's great, and she's way too smart for her own britches. And the other one will be we're birthing our church here, coming up in January. So it's been an extremely busy year for me, and you know, I've really enjoyed doing Strangers and Aliens, and it's been a good way for me to have some creative outlets in the midst of, you know, all those things called responsibility.
All right, well, you know, I'm looking forward to another year of this. I really enjoy this. What makes it the most fun is getting to know other people outside, like getting to know like Tom Holst and Hank Hartwell and Peter Franson, although I might have gotten to know him anyway because of his podcast, and Matt Anderson and other guy and some of the guys over there, but which we won't speak too loudly about. But I'm excited. We've got some cool topics coming up. Obviously, we'll be talking about The Hobbit. We'll be talking about some of the other Seven Deadly Sins. On Sunday, our first spinoff podcast will go live. We'll see how long it lasts, but it'll start on Sunday. So that should be fun. For now, though, we need to do our drawing, our name drawing. If anyone is listening right now who is following us on Facebook, you know about our contest, our super fantastic Facebook fan contest of awesome.
And super elastic bubble plastic. What is it again?
Super fantastic Facebook fan contest of awesome. And so we are drawing names out of a hat. This is my
actual hat.
Yep. Can you hear this?
Yep.
This is paper swishing. So, Steve, you have the list of names in front of you?
I do, yes. Okay,
I've got the list of prizes in front of me. I've got the papers in the hat, but I only had the time to write the initials on them because I took a phone call right before we recorded. So
I'll coordinate them.
Yeah. All right. I don't know. What should we do here? Drum roll or something? First, we have the
document. Don't you get a tweet bot to do that?
To do the drum roll?
Yeah.
Let's see.
I just put in
brrrr. All right. Tweetbot, drum roll for us.
D, dum, D, 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 B, R, R, B, R, R, B, R,
R. Can you do that again? Oh, I want to hear that again.
First is the Dr. Chase Inspirational Book Prize Pack, which includes 1-minute devotionals for boys and No Girls Allowed devotions for boys. Drum roll, please. Tweetbot.
D, dum, D, 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 B, R, R, B, R, R, B, R, R.
The winner of the Dr.
That's
Jason.
The best thing. That's the best thing he's done all night.
Oh, wow.
The winner of the Dr. J's Inspirational Book Prize Pack has the initials AM.
AM, and that is Andrew McPherson.
Andrew McPherson. So, Andrew McPherson, we will connect with you on Facebook.
I know. I think I know Andrew McPherson.
Really?
Wow.
If that's the one I know, yeah.
Well, if it's not the one you know, then no. But,
okay. It's like, I don't know anyone named Andrew McPherson, but I do know someone of the same name.
You know, people have, you know, same names. You're not the first Steve McDonald I've met. Sorry, Steve.
Wow. I used to feel special.
Okay, so, Andrew, we will be getting in contact with you.
So wait, which one did he win?
He won the inspirational book prize pack. 1 minute devotional for boys and no girls allowed devotion for boys.
So it's the no minute devotional for what?
The 1 minute. 1 minute and devotionals for boys and no girls one girl. Allowed devotions for boys.
Wonderful. All right.
All right. So next is the kids book prize pack, which includes Crazy Circus World, Armor Quest, and Getting Yourself Drawn Into a Story. Steve and his daughter made about Cookie Man and Dr. Pop and whoever you want to include in there. So,
Twitter, I want to win that one because I want her comic book.
Twitterbot. Well, you can deal with whoever it is that wins it. Drum roll, please.
D dum d d d b r r b r r b r.
The winner of the kids book prize pack is MK.
MK, and that would be Mickey Kitt.
All right.
Nice.
Kids book prize pack. All right. Next up, we have the speculative fiction prize pack. Three books from graphic classics, graphic novel series, fantasy classics, science fiction classics, and Halloween classics.
We get a drum roll?
Yeah, here it comes.
Here it comes.
D. Dum D D D B R R B R R B R R.
Wow.
Okay. The winner is, cool. It's a buddy of mine, J.S. Earls.
J.S. Earls.
Yeah, J.S.E. He's the only three initial person I put in there. No, wait, I might have put three initials for Nathan
ODM.
G. Norman. All right.
NJM. NJN.
Yeah, that one I might have done three for. The Time Flies Book Brick. All eight books of Time Flies.
D.
The winner is T.O.
T.O. Tracy O'Quinn.
Are we going to post that they won on our Facebook page and everything?
When we post the episode, we will. And we'll get
just have to guess.
All right. And then, so this is the last prize then. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is the Hedge Knight prize pack. Includes Hedge Knight, Hedge Knight 2, plus a signed copy of Hedge Knight number 1, signed by me, Ben Avery, and also signed by George R.R. Martin himself. And the reason I signed it is because I wrote the script from George's story. And George signed a bunch of comics when I met him. He started just pulling them off of my table and just started signing and signing and signing. And that was cool, but I had to get strategic and figure out which ones I really wanted him to sign. So I started feeding him the ones that I really wanted. This is one of those. It's that alternate cover to number 1. Are you ready, Twitterbot?
Oh, boy.
D. Dum D. 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 B. R. R. B. R. R. B. R.
And the winner is A.R.
A.R. Alan Rainey.
Alan Rainey. All right. So nice, those are our winners.
And thank everybody for joining in.
And thanks for just giving us feedback. And thank you for listening. And we really appreciate that. Our next episode, I don't know exactly what it's going to be. I was going to pitch to you guys that we do an episode about artificial intelligence. And what that means in light of...
I don't know. I think about after Tweetbot, I think we might need a break. He might take it personally.
Is there artificial stupidity covered in that as well?
Well, it could be. I was thinking... I was thinking that we could, you know, talk about...
Hey, it hurts.
I was thinking we could actually, you know, in light of, you know, what does it mean to be alive? What does it mean to be, to have the divine spark? And, you know, just kind of talk about some of the artificial intelligence, the questions it brings up. If we find and we're able to create intelligence, what does that mean for the specialness of humanity? And I know there's, you know, the people are trying to do this. They're trying to create, you know, life, basically. And so I don't know. That'll be an upcoming episode. I don't know if that'll be our next one. But we do, again, thank you for listening. And we appreciate you that listen to us. And if you don't listen to us, you don't know that I don't appreciate you. So, yeah, I think it's time for us to go. It's been fun. And I don't know if Twitterbot is coming back, but I think he might have had fun. And any last words, guys?
Yeah. I'm going to bed.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
Well, thanks. Bus drivers have to wake up really early in the morning, so.
What a downer we're ending on.
I'm basically tucking myself in as we're ending the episode.
This is Strangers and Aliens saying goodbye and
yeah.
Godspeed.
We love you so much.
You guys rock.
And thanks for voting for us.
Yeah, that's right.
Love you.
The Podcast Awards. Thank you for voting for us for the Podcast Awards. We don't know how well we did. We don't know. We won't know until January.
Yeah, but we at least beat the SFC guys.
As long as we beat them, we'll be happy. So.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening. Godspeed.
This was the Strangers and Aliens Podcast with Ben Avery, Dr. Jace O'Neill, and Stephen MacDonald. Our music was written, recorded, and mixed by Tim Leffel. Visit our website, www.strangersandaliens.com, where we have reviews, articles, and links. We want to hear from you. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/strangersandaliens, or on Twitter, where we are under the name Strange and Alien. You can contact us through our website by writing a message or leaving us a voicemail using your computer's microphone or emailing us at podcast@strangersandaliens.com. Finally, you can call us and leave a message. Our number is 1-840-37-ALIEN. That's 1-840-372-5436. Thank you for listening.
Dum dee 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 bee ra ra bee ra ra bee ra.